This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. His music is among the most difficult to play. He was born Leon Dudley Sarabji, but the late composer took the name Kikoshru Shaporji Sarabji. A prolific writer of extreme complexity, Sarabji wrote a symphony of nearly 1,000 pages. His opus Clavicembalisticum is described as the longest non-repetitious piano piece published. The performance of it lasts almost 3 hours. However, performances of Sarabji's music are rare, not because it's too daunting for most pianists, but because the composer banned all public performances of it for more than 30 years. He lifted that ban in 1976 and allowed Baltimore-based pianist Michael Haberman to play and record his works. Michael Haberman joins us now in Studio 4A. Welcome, Michael. When did you discover Sarabji's music?
Well, I was in a bookstore. I was 17 years old, and lo and behold, if I don't see this odd-shaped score with a very strange name on it. And the piece was Fantasía Española, and I had never seen anything like this. It was so complicated.
Why? What did it look like?
Well, first of all, it was written on 3 staves. So I thought, well, this must be a duet. <You know. laughs> But it turns out it was a piano solo, and just studded with notes all over the place.
He died in 1988.
88, exactly.
And you actually met him once.
I met him once, yes, exactly.
Late in his life.
Well, curiosity and a little bit of push from my friends. They said, well, you know, you're really going to be sorry if you don't meet him at least once. And, well, I'm really glad I did.
I've heard that he was quite an eccentric man. In this castle where he lived in Dorset, England, there was a sign poster that said, visitors unwelcome, Roman Catholic nuns in full habit may enter without appointment.
Exactly.
Is that true?
It's true. He lived in a town called Corfe Castle, and there was an old castle there, but actually he lived in a little house, a bungalow or cottage, if you want. But that sign was there on the door, absolutely.
Now, he knew that you were a pianist.
Yes.
From your correspondence.
Yes.
And he knew that you were trying to play his work, right?
Exactly.
How did he feel about that?
Oh, I don't know, but it seems like everything went very well.
During your visit, did you play for him?
I did, but I postponed that for as long as I could. You know, we had tea and cookies and a lot of small talk, and how do I pronounce your name, and... incidentally, he said it's Kikoshru Shaporji Sarabji, but call me Kay. And here's this 90-year-old man, you know, I'm not going to about to call him by his nickname. But I did move into the piano room eventually, and before I played, he offered me one of his manuscripts. He actually forced it on me because I said, no, are you really sure you want to part with this? But, and then I sat down at the piano and I played some music that he had written in 1928. It's a nocturne entitled Jami.
Is that also the name of that symphony that last?
The Jami Symphony, exactly.
I think
it's something like that in 1,000 performers. It's another Mahler symphony of 1,000, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about why he wrote music that is so difficult to play. So difficult, in fact, that only a few people do it.
You know, it's really difficult to pinpoint why it's difficult. There are several factors. One, it's very lengthy. So whatever is difficult is going to go on for a long time. The texture is rather full. So you have every register of the piano being made use of, and sometimes at the same time, so there's a lot of jumping around. He comes from a tradition of virtuoso pianists, if you will. You know, he admired the music of Liszt for his experimental qualities. And he was very much in admiration of another composer, Ferruccio Busoni. Both Liszt and Busoni were pushing the limits of what a piano could do in terms of, many, many factors, texture and duration and harmony. So the difficulty is multidimensional. So it's not just an emphasis on virtuosity for its own sake. As a matter of fact, I was very surprised when one of my friends once told me, he says, you know, you play all this virtuoso music. And I had never thought of Sarabji's music as virtuoso music. I thought of it as difficult music, but I always thought that the music was the most important thing and all the virtuosity that might be entailed in performing it was for the purpose of coloration and mood rather than, you know,
see how difficult this is.
Is it true that you once spent 6 weeks on one measure of his music?
Well, I try to make things sound good to my ear. So, yeah, I fine-tune and fine-tune. And sometimes it takes a long time. Of course, there are a lot of interruptions. You know, I have to go to the supermarket and
have a life.
Have a life, exactly. But yes.
Teaching at Peabody.
Right.
You've brought some music with you and an excerpt prepared from Gulistan, which is recorded for the first time on your new CD, Sarabji. Now, I'm looking at the sheet music that we have propped up on the piano. One page of music, and it, well, to my untrained eye, it looks as though a tornado has hit that page of music and flung all of the notes all over the page. That is remarkable.
Well, you know, your description is very accurate. There are four staves here. Three treble clefs and one bass clef. But what intrigued me, for instance, in this particular piece was, although it looked like a tornado of notes, he writes at the beginning of this, languid and very gently, everything in an atmosphere of tropical heat and a perfumed atmosphere. It's like a dream. It's dream music. But as you say, the tornado of notes, but it's very quiet. So
tell us what Gulistan, first of all, is.
Essentially, Gulistan is a rose garden. In his later correspondence with me, he always talks about these wonderful gardens that he used to walk in when he was young. And he talks about how he's just composed another nocturne that tries to evoke the atmosphere.
And you play it from memory.
Well, I had to, because all of that jumping around really is very distracting. As a matter of fact, all of the pieces that I've recorded and played of his, I've played from memory. Not to show off, but it's just a practical consideration when you've got so many things to think about. So I can give you an example of how, how for instance, the phrase at the bottom of the first page is constructed. Sarabji is really not a modern composer. He's actually a romantic composer with strong impressionistic tendencies. Think of Ravel, think of Debussy, add Liszt to it, and then add a little bit of counterpoint, and you have some idea of what Sarabji's music is like. So being that he was concerned with melody, melody is what's on top, and here's his melody. Now, you'll notice that that melody centers around F sharp. He's a tonal composer. Tonal composers are those who believe that certain notes in the scale are more important than other notes. So, that being the case, the F sharp is supported by a B major chord. And the chord is fading, so we have another B major chord, but this time with an added note. And another B major, warped B major, if you will. Sarabji then adds some filigree below the melody. Something like that. So now we have. Thank you. you'll notice the dependence on the pedal. In one of his books, he wrote two books, Around Music and Mi Contra Fa, The Immoralizings of a Machiavellian Musician. And in one of the chapters, he describes what he would consider an ideal piano. Instead of strings, we would have tuning forks. And the instrument would probably be so heavy that it would come crashing down this floor. But he liked the resonance of you know, the strings. So he asks for lots of pedal in his music. Now, to this is added a counter melody. And yet another counter melody in a different register, in a different rhythm. So now we have... That's one phrase.
On the first page.
On the first page. And it is really in B major, but it's got a lot of chromatic notes and a lot of weaving of melodies. Well, we're now on page 6. Here, we're in D major. And he relies on repetition to create a mood. But that's a little too simplistic for him. He adds two notes to the D major chord to make it clash a little bit. To give it a little bit of flavor to it. And then left hand has, likewise, an oscillating figure. Again, A is very prominent, but he's got a B and a B flat in there. So just the accompaniment is... And then he changes to this. This is F major, but again with added notes. So he uses added note harmony. And in the middle, we have the tune. Etc.
Wow. It's so hypnotic.
Yes, it is. I would tend to agree. There is a lot of dissonance, but he does it in such a way that it's actually very soothing.
There's a story about Gulistan, the piece you've been excerpting for us, that Saraji actually recorded this piece that he wrote, but he deviated from the score himself.
Yes. He basically gave us a bird's eye view of these pieces, and I wrote to him because I was very upset. I said, Mr. Saravji, your performance is it's not the right notes. It's not the right beat.
Ooh, talk about taking your life in your hands,
yeah,
Michael.
I mean, something's going on here. And subsequent to that, every letter of his contained a paragraph, sort of a disclaimer of sorts. I am not a pianist. Repeat, not a pianist. And he went on to say that, you know, he played the music the way he wanted, and who has the better right to play the music in any old way he wants than the composer himself.
Yeah, but what's on the page is what he intends for other people to play.
But at the conclusion of this statement, and this is a tenet that I would live by, he says, the score, the written music, embodies my intentions.
You actually have one of... your own compositions, which is an homage to the master. Now, this is called, I want to pronounce, I hope my French is...
Yes, this is à la manière de Sorabji, Au clair de la lune. Au clair de la lune is a French folk song, and it goes, Au clair de la lune, mon ami Pierrot. And now you understand why I haven't made any recordings of Sorabji's songs. And I used his chords and the general texture, and if you want, I can play a little bit of it.
And we will actually hear that folk song melody somewhere in this, right?
I hope so.
Michael Haberman with A la manière de Sorabji, Au clair de lune, a piece he wrote for his new CD called Sorabji, Works for Piano. It's on Elan Records, and Michael Haberman joined us in Studio 4A. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you very much.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition, produced by Robert Molesky, edited by Greg Smith, and directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from Walter Ray Watson and Carlene Windle. Our technical director is Kevin Langley, with engineers Andrea Jackson-Gewertz, Drew Reynolds, Soraya Mohammed, Terry Knight, Gary Henderson, Renee Pringle, and John Carrillo. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari. I'm Leanne Hansen.